Our scripture reading this morning, if you would turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. I want to read the verses 1 to 25 and focus our attention on the verses 19 to 22, just so you know where we are headed this morning. Hebrews chapter 10. Begin reading at verse 1. This is the word of God. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshippers, once purified, would have no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. And then I said, 'Behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do your will, O God.' Previously saying, 'Sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin, you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law.' And then he said, 'Behold, I have come to do your will, O God.' He takes away the first, that he might establish the second. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the blood of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstools. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had said before, 'This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them.' And then he adds, 'Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more.' Now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." That is the word of our God. We look this morning together at the book of Hebrews, and or at least a portion, of course, of the book of Hebrews. We are mindful, we know, we remember as we think of the book of Hebrews, the main purpose for which the book was written. It's very important for us to understand the scope, the point of the author to the Hebrews as he writes these words. And in essence, the book of Hebrews was written to encourage Christians. It's clear as you work through the content of the book of Hebrews that one of the main purposes that this book has been given to the church, to us, by inspiration, is to encourage us as we live in a fallen world. Now, of course, the situation, the exact situation of those who first received this book is quite different than ours if you want to look at the particulars, if you want to look at the particular manifestations of things in culture and society, very different. But as we think about the overarching reality of believers, Christians, those who look by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, who live in a fallen world, we all understand, we know as well as they did, that life is often difficult. The book has been written to encourage, to strengthen. It's interesting, as we think about this, again, we'll get to this particular passage in a moment, but as we think about the purpose of the book of Hebrews, and then you begin to think about the content of it, you think about, okay, by the inspiration of the Spirit, the writer to the Hebrews, where does he spend most of his time? We might say it this way, where is the heart of our encouragement? And it's interesting, again, as you just begin to flip through the content of the book of Hebrews, where we are focused is, of course, and we could answer this question, I trust, I hope, we are focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. We are focused on the Savior. But there is a significant portion of this book, again, given to us in order to offer encouragement and strength. There is a significant portion of this book that focuses our attention on Christ in his high priestly work. Chapters 5, it starts in chapter 5 and works itself out to conclusion here in chapter 10. All dealing with this glorious reality of Jesus Christ, our great high priest. In fact, verse 19 of our passage, if you look there with me, makes a great declaration concerning this very fact. It's summarized in this way, It's verse 21, and I'm going to fix that. Sorry, don't do this again. Verse 21, you have the boldness, you have the statement, the bold statement there, and having a high priest, that's the one, and having a high priest over the house of God. Having a high priest over the house of God. The great encouragement, the statement, the overarching reality. Therefore, the declaration is made that we have a great high priest over the house of God, over the church, a great high priest. And so you have this statement. And there's a great deal of time being spent, the writer to the Hebrews, on this very reality for the purpose of encouraging, of strengthening, of bringing assurance. And so this morning, as we look at this particular passage, we want to focus on this reality of Christ in his priesthood. It's something we've looked at, I'm sure, in various different areas, whether we're working through our confessional statements, it's near and dear to us. But we want to return to the theme this morning of the priestly work of the Lord Jesus Christ with the intention of receiving comfort, of strength, of assurance in a world that is difficult. I don't pretend to know all of the struggles that we are all going through this morning, but I can be assured that to a greater or to a lesser extent, this morning we know what it is to live in a fallen world. We know what it is to live life in the difficulties of a sinful world, whether we are talking about our own sin or whether we're talking about the sin of others. We need encouragement. And so we come this morning to this great theme, once again, of Christ. We have been given a high priest, a great priest, and he is over the house of God. Now, as we think of the priestly work of the Lord Jesus Christ and we look at this passage together, of course, we can expect that this is going to be broken up into two component parts. And the writer to the Hebrews does this very thing. The priestly work of the Lord Jesus Christ is based on his once for all sacrifice, which is where we're going to begin. And then it continues in his intercession. And so if you're not familiar with that structure, if you're visiting or whatever it is this morning, as you think about Christ the High Priest, we have two things that immediately come to mind: his once-for-all sacrifice and his intercessory work. And that is going to be the broad structure of the sermon this morning, because that is the very emphasis of the writer to the Hebrews in our text. First, we focus on his sacrifice. It's interesting, again, we come to verse 19, and here we do really come to verse 19. Therefore, brethren, as the writer to Hebrews begins, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus. As all of this is being wrapped up, this great, glorious work of the Lord Jesus Christ, here we are reminded that we have boldness to enter into the presence of God, to come before him, to not fear. Why? Based on the blood of the Lord Jesus. This is speaking, of course, of his sacrifice. Now, as we think of the priestly work of Jesus, one of the main pictures, if you will, of course, of this is going to be going back into the Old Testament. We know this. We're going to review this very briefly. But you go back into the Old Testament and you think about all of the passages, the books, the sections that deal with the priesthood, the priests of the Old Testament. And they're given to us, that whole Old Testament system of the priesthood is given to us, of course, as a picture, as an anticipation, right? It is pointing forward to the grand reality of what the writer to the Hebrews is actually bringing before us, that once-for-all sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. We think of all of that illustration. We think of all that it goes on. Chapter 10, verse 1 begins, "For the law having a shadow of the good things." You hear that word shadow. A picture, a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices which they offer continually. The writer to the Hebrews is right there. Old Testament, the priesthood, right? One of their main tasks, of course, was to make sacrifice. And it was done symbolically. It was not done in terms of the sufficiency of actually forgiving sins. That's the main point of the writer to the Hebrews here. Talks about sacrifices having to be made every year, as an animal would have had to been sacrificed. But symbolically, it is a wonderful picture. As you think about the guilt of sin being transferred from the one offering the sacrifice to the sacrifice itself, right? You think about that picture of the priest laying his hand upon the animal that was to be sacrificed, symbolically, you know, transferring the sin of himself and the people of God onto that animal, and then that animal would be sacrificed, slaughtered, offered to God. This is a symbolic picture of a substitute. That animal served as a substitute, taking upon what itself the sin of the people, and then being sacrificed. Now, of course, we want to get this clear. The writer to the Hebrews says to us, none of that actually did what it pointed to, that the animals didn't actually bear the sin. It was symbolic of the great promise of the one who was to come, the great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, the very one that this is coming to a grand crescendo in the declaration. It points us to the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, again, the writer to the Hebrews in chapter 10, verse 11, "And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins." It was a picture. The writer to the Hebrews is declaring that the fulfillment of all of that picture has come in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we begin to see a great difference. There's a similarity, of course. There's a connection between the priestly work of the Old Testament and Christ's high priestly work. Again, there's a connection enough that it is a picture. But the great difference between the Old Testament picture and the New Testament reality is that Jesus, as our priest, as the great high priest over the house of God, doesn't just offer sacrifice. The great difference between the entire Old Testament system and the fulfillment of the Lord Jesus Christ is that Jesus doesn't just offer sacrifice, he is the sacrifice. The lamb that was slain, that picture that unfolds in the Old Testament of that sin-bearing animal that would then be sacrificed, all pointed forward to the reality of Jesus Christ, the God-man, the one who came to take on flesh, the Savior, our mediator, who indeed came to bear our sins and then to take those sins to the cross. And so it is, in contrast to that whole Old Testament system, that the writer to the Hebrews can say quite differently than the Old Testament. They had to keep sacrificing because it couldn't take away sin, to verse 12 of chapter 10. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. If you go back a chapter again, you begin to see what the point of the writer to the Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 14, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. The whole point of this book is to set our eyes on Jesus, our glorious mediator, the one who came indeed to bear sin. And it isn't just smoke and mirrors. You know, oftentimes as we think about all of the theological arguments that have happened in the history of the church regarding these things, one of the things that is offered against what we are talking about here is that, oh, you're just talking about smoke and mirrors. You're just talking about words, the whole idea of substitution and all of those kind of things. This is not what we are talking about here. What the writer to the Hebrews is bringing us to here this morning is not just smoke and mirrors. This is not just, you know, some abstract thing. We as human beings, we as those who have been created in the image and likeness of God, are the ones who have indeed sinned. Paul does summarize that for us. As we've been reminded this morning, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We as human beings, therefore, deserve the punishment. We deserve to be on that end of the sacrifice, if you will, bearing the wrath of God. It is us that has staring us in the face the reality of eternal and everlasting death because of those sins. But again, you look at the context of chapter 10, where he brings this to the grand crescendo. You look at the way the writer to the Hebrews points us, again, back to the Old Testament, Psalm 40. Sacrifice and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. Speaking of the promised Messiah, speaking of the fact that even way back in Psalm 40, the anticipation of the one who was going to come to take on flesh, God becoming man, the Lord Jesus Christ, you have prepared a body for me. Why? So that he could be the sacrifice. It is his flesh that is offered in the death of Jesus Christ. He is the one who died. He is the one who bore the brunt of the punishment of God against sin in his flesh. Think again of the words of the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians 5:21. For our sake he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is not smoke and mirrors. This is not just some abstract reality. This is the glorious reality of Jesus Christ, who came to be the once for all sacrifice. And you think about the world that we live in. You think about the struggles. You think about the trials. You think about the difficulties. What is at the essence? What is at the heart? What is that which is driving all of those things? It is sin. Whether it's our sin or whether it's someone else's sin, it is sin that is behind every one of those difficulties. And here we are having set before us the glorious declaration of the great priest set over the house of God, the one who has come to bear sin and to deal with it in finality. You begin to wonder, or if you began to wonder at the beginning, you know, this book is given for encouragement, for strength in a fallen world. And man, he spends a lot of time on the high priestly work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is in that work where Jesus has come to deal essentially with the problem. And it is as we behold that once for all sacrifice, as we think about Jesus Christ bearing sin upon himself and our sin upon himself, that we think that we have won, not like the Old Testament. Year after year after year after year, doing the same thing. But we come before a one who has dealt with sin, our sin, in finality. He paid for it. He paid for our sin. It is this very reason that all who come to him in faith receive complete and absolute forgiveness. It is in him that we have set before us the glorious hope, as we were reminded in our prayer this morning, that one day in Christ Jesus, that root of sin, the consequence, the difficulties, the trials, the struggles will all be gone. But here we set our eyes afresh on the one from whom all of these things come, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And we hear afresh Hebrews 10:17, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Is it any wonder that so much time is spent in the book of Hebrews, focusing on our great high priest? Here in the passage that we are reading, all of these things are being brought to culmination. This is kind of the therefore. Boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sin having been dealt with, living coram Deo before the face of God, there is where our encouragement comes from. But that's only the first part of Christ's priestly work. By the blood of Jesus Christ, his once for all sacrifice. That second aspect, again, if we're familiar with our systematics and our confessions and our catechisms, that second aspect is Christ's intercessory work. They belong together, and we will see that. We think about that once for all sacrifice and the implication of having sin dealt with in finality. But here we want to focus also on his intercessory work. And there again, you think about the words that we have set before us. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. The call for us here is not just to focus our attention on that once for all sacrifice that has happened in the past. It is for us to now draw near based on that once for all sacrifice of Jesus, that we draw near, full confidence to enter into the holy place. This comes to us thinking about the intercessory work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when we hear the word intercession, we often think of prayer, and rightly so. I'm not going to alter that at all. We think of prayer, though. We think of Christ praying or us praying, interceding on behalf of someone. We think of prayer. And so when we hear of Christ's intercessory work, we often think of the fact that he is praying for us. Think of the high priestly prayer of John 17. There, Jesus praying. And of course, we would not be wrong in that. Of course, that is part and parcel of what is going on. But there is also a bigger reality going on from which those prayers come when we think of the intercessory work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are speaking of the application of the virtue and sufficiency of Christ once for all sacrifice. It is thinking about Christ who is in heaven. The very fact that he is there, having been the sacrifice, is the foundation upon which you have the intercessory work of Jesus. Again, looking to the Old Testament, you do have the intercessory work of the high priest. And it happens specifically when he entered with the blood of the offering, the sin offering, and the priest then would enter into the Holy of Holies. It was a special place that he alone could go to. It represented the presence of God. It was the Holy of Holies. And there he would anoint, if you would, the corners of the mercy seat on behalf of the people of God. There would be that constant reminder, again, a picture, a symbol, that constant reminder that sacrifice had been made and it was brought into the very Holy of Holies, the very presence of God. That priest would bring the sacrifice into the presence of God for an atonement. The sacrifice has been made to show the reality of forgiveness based on sacrifice. Again, this is all picture. It is all symbol, if you will, based or pointing on to the once-for-all sacrifice of Jesus. It is Jesus, our great high priest, who has entered into heaven itself as the once-for-all sacrifice. All who are united to him are enter into heaven itself. Why? Based on him and who he is and what he has done. His person. His very person, as he is now in heaven, his person is our intercession before the Father. The reality of that sacrifice is in heaven itself, the Holy of Holies. And he is there forever and ever and ever. Now, this, of course, does not mean that Jesus doesn't pray for us. We know that he does. We are so thankful that he does. You go back and you read that high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is wonderful to think about the Lord Jesus Christ praying for us. But those prayers are rooted in his being our intercession. He is his very presence in heaven. Speaks of the reality of his once for all sacrifice. And why this is so important is because we want to make sure that we think properly about the gospel, about God. Oftentimes, if we think wrongly and we don't add this vital component part to the intercessory work of Jesus, and we just think about him praying, we can, not all of us, but some of us can get into our minds the thought of the Father, who is prone to forget. And so you have to have Jesus there in heaven praying, you know, always, don't forget that I've done this, don't forget that I've done this. It's the act of Jesus is praying. But you have we have the wrong idea of the Father, that he's there ready to get us, except that Jesus is saying, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. Here we have what unfolds before us is the very reality that Jesus Christ is in heaven itself, his very presence in heaven, says to us that the Father loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son in order to die, to do everything necessary in order to receive forgiveness, so that we might come boldly and confidently into his presence. It is the love of God manifest in the glorious person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is now in heaven itself. And it is based on that reality that we have the writer to the Hebrews saying to us, let us then draw near. Let us come boldly and confidently because we have a glorious Savior who is our intercession. Now again, think of life in this fallen world. You think of the difficulties that we get ourselves into with sin. We think about the difficulties that other people get us into because of sin. The hardships, the trials, the struggles. And we are focused once again this morning, not just on the fact that sin is forgiven for all who come to Jesus Christ, that he has come to deal with finality with the problem itself, but in the continual day-to-day existence that we have in this fallen world, because Jesus Christ has entered into the Holy of Holies, he is in heaven itself, he is our intercession, there is no time, there is no place that is inappropriate for us to come boldly and confidently into the very presence of God. It transcends the difficulties of this life and allows our hearts to be brought into the very presence of God. This is what the writer to the Hebrews is saying, let us draw near. And it is for this very reason that at the nadir, at the bottom of our struggles, when we look afresh to the Lord Jesus Christ and when we cry out to him, when we cry out to God, We transcend. We enter into the very heaven of heavens. We come into the presence of God. Now that doesn't magically make difficulties disappear. It doesn't magically make, you know, all of the particulars that we're struggling with go away. But it says this is not our home. This is not our hope. And we draw strength as we come into the very presence of God, knowing that he loves us, knowing that he has his hand upon us, knowing that he is doing everything for our good. It is there that we are reminded of these things. And we ask ourselves, where is the source, where is the center of our comfort, or we might say it this way, our assurance? It is in our great high priest. It is this great high priest who has been put or placed over the house of God. So long ago, the writer to the Hebrews, looking at those that he was writing to, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, where is it that I need to bring them? That they might receive comfort and strength and encouragement. And he takes them right to the great high priest. Fast forward all of these many years, and we have the gracious God saying to us, you live in a fallen world. There are struggles and trials and tribulations. You go through difficulties. Where is it that you need to go? It is to Jesus Christ, the great high priest that has been placed over the house of God. In him, we have been granted everything. And this is to give you a connection for those who are going to come back this afternoon. There's going to be, from that statement on, the focus, not from Hebrews, from Ephesians, as we think about those blessings, all things that are ours in Christ Jesus. And so this morning, let us indeed fix our eyes afresh on Jesus Christ, our great high priest, set over the house of God. He is ours, and we are his. Let us pray. O Lord, our great and glorious God in heaven, again we marvel at setting our feeble minds and our weak hearts on such glorious realities. We thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you indeed that we can have boldness, that we can have confidence, that we can come, even as we are praying, into the very place of heaven itself because of Christ, because his blood is shed, and because he is our intercession. We ask, O Lord, that you would fix our eyes afresh on the author and finisher of our faith, that you would bring us encouragement and blessing, even in the midst of difficulties, to know that we have been given such a glorious high priest. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.